How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. It's an emergency podcast today. Russell Westbrook has officially re-signed with the Thunder. They just announced that, so putting together a podcast as quickly as I can with my buddy, who's now second time returning, ESPN's Royce Young. What is happening?
When do I get my my jacket? Is that, do I have to join the Five Timers Club? Is that how that works?
I think we're gonna make it seven because I feel like you're gonna get to five too quickly.
Okay,
I'm forcing you on too much, Royce.
I need my jacket. I need my Justin Timberlake, Tom Hanks. I don't know who's all in that club, the SNL club. I don't know who it is.
Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Steve Martin.
I'm going for the record. I'm going for the Locked On Thunder record here. I want to own that and no one be able to touch it.
Good. That helps me a lot. So I'm perfectly happy with you doing that. Quickly before we get started, Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder. Or if you're a fan of another team, you know, whatever corresponding team, Locked On Clippers or Locked On Celtics or whatever, to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review there as well. You can find us on audioboom.com too. You know, shows have been Tuesday, Thursday now, but, you know, we're doing the emergency one. Royce, were you surprised when this news broke now? What was your reaction?
I hate to say I wasn't surprised because that sounds like I'm being just kind of like a, you know, pretentious jerk that I like knew. But, like, I've felt really confident. And I think I might have even said it when I was on with you. The feeling was, from what I heard from a lot of different people, that Russell Westbrook was strongly considering this. And I know that initially some of the reports that came out that this wasn't an option that Westbrook wouldn't do. But I think that was, some of that was reactionary, that people didn't quite understand that financially, that it was actually going to make sense for Russell Westbrook to do this, that he was going to make more money, putting this extra $9 million effectively in his pocket that he otherwise wouldn't make. And as the dust kind of settled on Kevin Durant leaving, I think it became more and more obvious that this was a strong possibility. And really effectively, the moment that the Thunder rescinded Dion Waiters' qualifying offer, you could, as it was put to me, just add it up. 1 + 1. That was the sign that they had a strong understanding that Russell Westbrook was serious about doing this. And at that point, it was just kind of a matter of when. And I don't know. Maybe the timing is completely coincidental, but we're a month to the day after Kevin Durant announced. You know, this is August 4th. Kevin Durant announced on July 4th. But because this extension has, in essence, been done for close to 2 weeks now, it's been agreed to. So the pen is just finally on the paper, and they're getting around to announcing it, and they're having a press conference and all the fanfare that goes along with that. But to say I was surprised, I think if, like, on July 5th, would I be surprised? Absolutely. It would have caught me completely off guard. But as things kind of started to trend in this direction, you know, a lot of people told me that that Russell Westbrook is just going to embrace this and run headfirst into the challenge of kind of taking it on. But he had to step away and decide this himself. And that's why he was silent basically the last month. He really just kind of wanted to pull back, make his choice, weigh his options, and then, you know, decide from there. Because, you know, I think a lot of things, Fred, and I know I'm talking for forever here.
That's why you podcast, to talk.
Right.
You don't podcast so other people can talk.
Right. Exactly. One of the things is yes, Westbrook essentially has just signed for one added year for the Thunder. And I think there's a couple different ways to look at it. I think the glass half full perspective on that is going to be, well, Russell Westbrook's made the pragmatic decision here of he wants to get to be the 10-year max, just like everybody else did, just like Kevin Durant did, signing a 1 + 1 with the Warriors. You know, Durant signing a 1-year deal with the Warriors, nobody's sitting there going, well, You know, he's got to see what the Warriors do, and he might leave. You know, the expectation is Kevin Durant has now committed to the Warriors, and he's just making the practical decision, the best business decision for himself. You know, James Harden just did the same thing with an extension. He's going to be available to hit the free agent market again at the 10-year threshold. Russell Westbrook's done the same thing. So I don't think people should necessarily look at this as, well, the clock is still ticking on the Thunder. From my perspective, Westbrook has kind of made a statement here, a declaration to say, look, I'm with the Thunder, and I'm going to be with them for the long term.
I mean, I think people tend to – and I think this is what you were getting at just now. I mean, I wasn't surprised either. And maybe I'm the pretentious jerk now too, but I wasn't surprised. I mean, look, if you offered me $9 million more dollars to do the job that I was already contracted to do,
right,
I would listen to that offer. I would probably take that offer. I think that that's always been a realistic possibility for Westbrook. And at the same time, you know, pretty much every top 10 player wants to be able to get to that 10-year max. I mean, that's what that James Harden extension was about. It's like what you said with the Durant 1-year deal was about. You get that 10-year max, you get 35% of the cap.
You make real money. Big time money.
Right, as opposed to the fake money Russell Westbrook's been
making. As if the pennies that he's getting right now.
Yeah, exactly. Now to quote Latrell Sprewell, he can afford to feed his family. But you know, the thing with Westbrook is that I think people are taking either side kind of to an extreme, which is he did it for the money, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean it's a commitment to the Thunder. Or he's back, now he's committed to the Thunder, he has stitched every piece of his skin into Thunder fabric, and now all of a sudden he is the Thunder, and they're just gonna, you know, he's gonna frequent the Pink Parrot every weekend now for the rest of his life. I think there could be a middle ground here. Like I think this can be both a commitment and can be motivated to whatever degree you want to say, whether a lot or a little or something, by money. I don't think you have to choose one. It doesn't have to be this was about money or this was about the team. It can be about both. Like those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Right. And I think that's exactly the right way, I think, kind of to approach it. Because, you know, from all appearances, Russell Westbrook was most likely going to remain with the Thunder. And, you know, I know that there was some assumptive speculation out there that, oh, he was going to want to go play for the Lakers. But there was nothing ever tangible about that sort of stuff. Russell Westbrook is a winner, and that's what he cares about, and that's what he wants to do. So, you know, he's not going to go out just to play in Los Angeles and wait on a team to improve around him. You know, he's entering his prime. So, you know, from his perspective, it's like, if I'm pretty sure that I want to stay with this team, like, I might as well go and put $9 extra million in my pocket. And, you know, it's a good thing for both sides here, because for the Thunder, now they have something tangible and physical that they can move forward with. You know, even if Russell Westbrook sat down in a meeting with Sam Presti and said, Sam, you got nothing to worry about. I'm going to resign for 5 years next offseason. Don't worry about it. We'll get to that then. You know, the Thunder still would have had to kind of operate within that cloud, because, you know, that's technically against league rules to do. So you can't come out and say that. So you kind of have to operate with the cloud and the worry of Westbrook and what course do they plot. And still, there's also the kind of the uncertainty that, yeah, a guy can change his mind. Kevin Durant did that this season. So what they got from Westbrook was a compromise to say, look, you're making a good show of faith here, and you're doing it in a obvious, like, tangible way that we can now use that to plot our course ahead. And Westbrook, for his part, is making $9 million extra bucks. So, I mean, it's a solid compromise on both ends. And I don't think anybody, even within the Thunder organization, Fred, I don't think that they're operating under the illusion that Russell Westbrook has just signed a lifetime contract. You know, they still got to improve this roster. They still got to do different things. But I do think that this is a statement by Russell Westbrook to say he's committed to their future. And he's willing to try to see this out. It doesn't mean that he's here forever, but he's at least committed to the team, and he believes in the direction that they're going.
Right. Now, I do think that, you know, to some degree, I mean, the 1 year helps the Thunder in that. I know you reported, I think it was late last night. I don't know, man. I didn't even sleep last night. I don't remember if you reported this late last night or if you reported it this morning. But, you know, this is not necessarily about adding on trade value to Russell Westbrook. But at the same time, like you just talked about, I believe that that's not the Thunder's intention, because why would you want to trade one of these six best players in the league if he just re-upped with you? But at the same time, if, you know, disastrous things happen, which...
It checks a box.
They happen. Yeah. Exactly. It plans for the worst. And that's what Sam Presti does a lot, right? He plans for every possible option. He's not planning for what he hopes will happen. He's not even planning for what he thinks will happen. He's planning for... Okay, if this happens, here's what we can do. And if this happens, here's what we can do. And if this happens, here's what we can do. And he does that 37 for, you know, 48 different scenarios. And this is just one of those scenarios. You know, things just go totally south and Russell Westbrook, you know, doesn't necessarily want to be there. All of a sudden, now instead of making, you know, a Carmelo Anthony trade where you're trading him with half a year left on his deal, and the Nuggets got a lot for him, but half a year left on his deal, you're making the Deron Williams trade with, you know, a year and a half left on his deal. And, you know, I'm not saying trade him. I mean, they have to wait 6 months to do it anyway by league rule. And I'm not at all arguing, you know, trade him or anything like that. That's crazy. But it's nice to have a little bit more value. It just, you know, if the NBA, if roster building is about compiling assets, if Russell Westbrook was an asset already, obviously, but now when he's under contract for longer, he's a little bit more of one. So that's something that helps with team building too, from a perspective of just like, hey, Russell Westbrook's coming back. This is great for the Thunder.
Right, and, you know, I mean, it goes without saying, the Thunder do not want to trade Russell Westbrook.
They, no,
you know,
this, of course not, and I really wanted to be very clear that was not my implication.
But to piggyback on your point, like, it does kind of give them at least a little bit more insurance if things change. You know, this deal is something to illustrate that both sides are very, very committed to each other and they want to move forward together. But at the same time, yes, you're trying to cover your bases here. And, you know, this is a little bit through the looking glass. And like, I think that, you know, it probably doesn't make complete sense because the Thunder, you know, they had the control in this situation. But, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is essentially just added 1 year on to Westbrook's contract. Really, in some ways, it's added on two. Because the Thunder were almost certainly going to trade Russell Westbrook if they didn't get that kind of commitment from him.
And that's a good point.
And I realize that kind of sounds stupid because they didn't have to trade him. They could have this one guaranteed year. But that's just the way Sam Presti and the Thunder are going to operate. And that's kind of really the way that they have to operate, honestly, Fred, is that especially with what after happened to Durant, you know, it's going to be so difficult to recover from losing Durant. But then you lose Westbrook on top of that for nothing. And, you know, you're talking about setting the organization back 5 years. So, if Westbrook was resistant to an extension and basically unwilling to do this when it's just him, you know, when it made all the sense in the world, it would be different for him to have to give up money in it, but he was going to make $9 million. So, I mean, it made all the sense in the world for him to do it. And so if he rejected that, the Thunder would be saying, okay, now we have to trade you. So they, in essence, they've gotten 2 years extra out of Russell Westbrook rather than just the one, even though that doesn't make entire sense, but I think most people understand what I'm saying.
That's a good point. Want to play a game?
Yeah,
let's play a game. I appreciate that your family is now tweeting about how we're Skyping together.
they would never do that.
Let's play a game.
Okay,
let's play an over under game. Over under 28 points per game for Russell Westbrook this year.
Let's say under.
Under. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why under?
I think he's going to, you know, he led the league in scoring. You know, when Durant only played the 27 games with the foot injuries in 2015. And Westbrook, I think, he killed himself every night that season. You know, I mean, I was at a lot of those games. Basically, for the last 3 months, I was at every game. I did a lot of the road games, too. And that guy killed himself. And I think in retrospect, he looks back on that and says he tried to do too much. Now, his teammates weren't as good at that time, either. You know, he had just gotten Enes Kanter. But the team around him, you know, Steven Adams wasn't the kind of player he was. You know, Serge Ibaka was hurt. Adams was even hurt for a period of that. So, you know, he basically just took the responsibility of like, I'm just going to try to just do this. He went full Kobe and just, I'm going to do all of this on my own and just completely gun until my arms fall off. I don't think he's going to take that approach this time around. I think he's going to score. But I don't think he's going to be pushing 30 points a game. I think he's probably going to try to take some of the approach that he had last season, which is to try to be the league's best distributor.
Okay, so that leads me to the second part of the game. Can you handle this one?
I we'll see.
Over under 20 combined rebounds and assists per game.
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say, ooh. I mean, right now I'm thinking you know, it's unreasonable to say he's going to average 10, you know, double digit rebounds. That's just not going to happen. Cause he's going to have too many games where he gets three. So I'm going to say, boy, almost right on that number. I'd almost say a push because I could see 12 and 8. I really could. I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little torn on the assist numbers because what did he average this last season? 11.4, I think, if I remember
it's
right.
It's like something around 11. It rounded to 11.
Yeah, something like that. But let's go ahead and tell a little secret here that a lot of those assists were to this guy named Kevin Durant, who makes scoring really easy. So, you know, I think in some ways Russell Westbrook's assists could jump because I think he's going to focus on distribution to a lot of the players that he has around him. But in other ways, I could see them come down just because he doesn't have a weapon like Kevin Durant to pass to. I mean, how many assists did Russell Westbrook get just from like Kevin Durant running a pin down and coming off and hitting a smooth jumper in the easiest offensive set of all time? So I'm a little torn. I guess I'm going to go under, but just slightly.
Yeah, I'll take the under too, but I'm going to take over 28 again.
Yeah, you think he's going to be a scorer? You think he's going to go?
I think he's going to average like 29. 10 and 8.
What? I don't know. You probably don't remember this off the top of your head. You should have researched since you're a professional podcaster here. What did he average the year he won the scoring title? Was he in the 30s?
No, he was 28 point something. I can research mid podcast right now.
No, don't do that. Just clicking around.
28.1.
Wow, you were all over that. Okay, 28.1.
Efficient. 28.1. And he was 10.4 assists last year.
10.4 assists. Okay, yeah. So yeah, I'm going to definitely go under on the assists then. I think he'll probably be like 9 assists, 8 rebounds or something like that.
I think one of the things that he could struggle with this year is that the Thunder are not going to have – I mean, look, they struggled with spacing at times last year. The offense was amazing. I mean, for all the criticism the offense gets about being stagnant or whatever it was, like this was the most efficient offense the league has seen in – like the non-Warriors offense the league has seen in 3 or 4 or 5 years. They averaged almost 110 points per 100 possessions, which is an astonishing number. I mean, that is an incredible, unbelievably efficient offense. It's one of the best offenses the NBA has seen, like I said, in the last half decade. There were not offensive issues. There were not, I should say, pressing offensive issues.
Right.
But if they had a flaw, it was spacing. They sometimes got cramped. Part of that was because, you know, guys would sag off Robertson or, you know, because maybe when Ibaka would go into shooting slumps, some teams wouldn't always, you know, honor his shot, although most of the time they would. But this year, I think spacing is really going to be an issue because even with Ilyasova out there, I mean, he's the only guy who's going to be an above-average three-point shooter for his position. You know, Oladipo's certainly a good player, and he's going to help, and I like that trade for the Thunder, but, you know, defenders aren't, you know, jumping out at him the same way they do really accurate shooters in the three-point line, and Robertson's not a spacer, and Adams is better around the rim. So one thing I wonder with is how much traffic there's going to be in the lane when Westbrook is driving, and if that is going to maybe entice him to find guys on the perimeter more for driving kick threes, and maybe he'll be able to create more threes like that, or at least more three-point opportunities because guys are helping off of guys, or if he's going to think, well, you know, it's – you know, there's still a better chance of me finishing this layup than there is of, you know, Andre Robertson maybe hitting this quarter three. So I'm going to end up taking this shot now over three guys or over two guys instead of two guys or one guy. And I wonder how much that's going to affect Westbrook. I still think he's going to score a ton because he's just an unbelievable basketball player. And you know, great players find ways to be effective in dire situations. And I shouldn't say dire situation. They're still a good team. It's not a dire situation. But in situations where they maybe have to put in a little more effort than they did in the past. But I could see something that brings him down to a degree.
Yeah, and I think that the thing I'm going to look a lot look with great interest on is his efficiency numbers, just because Russ has never been, you know, a high efficiency player. He's fallen in love too often with the three-pointer. He got rid of the long two for the most part. And that's the reason he shot more threes, is that he's tried to get rid of the long two and shoot more threes in place of that. But he's just not a great 3-point shooter, and he still takes too many of them. And I think that, as Billy Donovan's talked about a lot, you know, a lot of times with Russell, it's about the kind of three that he's taking and what kind of rhythm he's in, and is he set and the mechanics that he gets into, because he's a decent shooter when he does that, but he's just not a high volume 3-point guy that you can really rely on. So, you know, is he going to shoot 42% from the field? And to me, that's not going to be healthy for the Thunder, I think. I think Westbrook needs to probably focus on efficiency to the best of his ability, even though that's really never been the name of his game. But that's also been because he's kind of, you know, him and Durant have been such contrasting type of players. You know, Durant is the ultimate efficiency player, completely focused on that, trying to score, you know, 31 points on 17 shots every night he's out. And Westbrook is more just the force of nature, the, you know, just relentlessly attack you. And that's why they complemented each other so well. But, you know, I think that that's where, you know, the evolution of some of the players on the team is going to become really vital, is to try to take some of that responsibility away from Westbrook. I think Oladipo as a shot creator is going to be really necessary. I'm really intrigued to see what happens with Sabonis. You know, there's a lot of talk of his passing ability, and maybe you can put him at the high post. I think Sabonis is going to play a decent amount this year. So I think the responsibility on a lot of the other players is going to be to take some of that burden away from Westbrook. And the other thing, Fred, is that Westbrook has got to trust him, because, you know, the thing is that he cannot sit there and just kill himself in December to beat the Denver Nuggets. I mean, he could in some ways do that, because he could defer to Durant, and Durant could kind of carry the load at different times and finish games and close out teams. He cannot be just like playing for 82 games like a bat out of hell and just destroying his body to try to win some random game in December. That just, he's got to be able to develop some of those other guys. And I think that that's some of the responsibility he's going to now feel, is it's on him to help some of these guys grow, because this is still a really young roster.
So on that point, I have a personal theory, which I want to run by you, because you've known Russ longer than me. You have amazingly had more moments where he has probably embarrassed you in front of television cameras than me. Although I'm coming,
I don't know,
for
you came out of the gates rolling, man.
I am coming for you. I know you are. I think you're responsible for turning me into an internet meme. Like, I completely blame you. If you weren't tweeting that, then I'd still have my dignity. But you probably have a more intelligent opinion on this. My personal theory: Russell Westbrook has amazing defensive ability, and there are times when he goes out there and just locks guys down on defense, and he's really good, and he stays disciplined, and he goes hard, and he fights through screens, and he bodies guys up, and he doesn't let guys get into the lane, and he's just really good. And when he's going like that, it's like, oh, wow, look how well he's playing defensively, because he's just got every defensive trait physically that you would want. But he's not always like that. And I don't think it's always talked about, you know, whether it's because he's gambling too much, or maybe he's just not going as hard around picking, you know, ball screens on, you know, that given night or whatever it is. He's not always the greatest defender in the entire world. I think that Russell Westbrook, and I thought that Russell Westbrook didn't have the best defensive season last year. I think he is going to have a tremendous defensive improvement this year, because I think he's going to take that mentality of kind of where we, you know, talk about how I have to take everything, I have to do everything. I think the Thunder are going to build a real defensive identity this year with Adams and Robertson and Oladipo. And I think they could be a top 10 defense. I think that's totally in the cards for them, even with Durant and Ibaka gone. I think Westbrook could end up buying into that, just because of that I need to take over mentality that I think he'll end up bringing into this year. And I think he's going to end up having a good defensive season. What do you think about that? Am I making up a narrative right now, or is that something that's viable and within his personality?
No, I think so. I am in complete agreement that Westbrook last season left a lot to be desired on the defensive end. And even if you go back to the season I mentioned where Durant was injured, Westbrook really took possessions off during that season, because it was obvious what he was saving himself for. You know, he was, you know, we often forget that this isn't NBA 2K, where you just have like a fatigue bar and, you know, you just like kind of like replenish that with the timeout. Like, this guy, he's a real human being that like gets tired and stuff. So, I think that, you know, Westbrook, I think, is often guilty of trying to catch his breath on the defensive end. And like you said, he's a gambler. He takes too many chances. In some ways, he's lost the Thunder games by doing that. You know, the game in San Antonio during the regular season sticks out in my mind big time, when he went for a steal that was completely unnecessary and left Danny Green wide open for a three. That's just Russell Westbrook. I mean, that's just what he does. And I don't think he's going to stop doing that necessarily. But I do think it is very, like you said, Fred, you can see multiple games and possessions where the guy puts together like incredible defense and, you know, will kind of blow you away with his ability to switch on to bigger players, to cut off drives. He has the capability to be, I think, the best defensive point guard in the NBA. It's just that he kind of – I don't want to say he chooses not to be because I don't think that that's fair. But he just doesn't always do it. I think consistency on that end of the floor is what matters. But to your point, you know, the Thunder's identity I think that they're going to find themselves in is that they're going to be a big, bruising, physical team that just tries to just ground and pound everybody that they play. And they're going to fall in step behind Russell Westbrook to do that. So I think that he's going to need to set a tone on the defensive end. As to the best of his ability to get there.
I think they're going to build some of his tendencies into their defensive strategy this year too. Like Westbrook is
form always, a little more.
Yeah, yeah, because him and Oladipo play that, and Adams and Robertson, if they're going to be on the back end, are disciplined enough to where they can kind of help on mistakes and kind of cover up for if, you know, Westbrook dives for, you know, tries to pick off a pass and doesn't get it, then all of a sudden Adams can come over and help because he's just that good defensively and he's that aware as a help defender and he's that quick too and a good enough rim protector to kind of make up for a mistake if someone does end up getting all the way to the rim. Robertson fits that description too, and you know, they're so athletic. They can be so good on the break, too. And how do you get out in the break? You get live ball turnovers. And both of their guys are perfectly capable leading the break. And both their backcourt guys, I should say, with him and Oladipo. And they're, I mean, I think it's the most explosive backcourt in the league. So if you kind of write those defensive, you know, those gambling tendencies, if you write those into the defense, you make it part of your principles, then all of a sudden, if you just consider them inevitable, Then instead of making them mistakes, you can write them into your principles. And there are defenses that do that. You write them into your principles and you have your backline guys recover. Now, maybe it doesn't work as well with Cantor on the floor. It doesn't work as well with, you know, Ilyasova out there. But, you know, that's kind of why you have Steven Adams. That's, you know, that's now all of a sudden he's got to play a much larger role. If you still have Serge Ibaka and Adams, then it's clearly going to go, you know, it's going to be easier to do. But, you know, it's also harder to pull off if you don't have Oladipo and you have Ibaka there. So, you know, they're going to have to put a burden on Adams, but I think Adams is good enough at this point to do that. So, I think that's a real possibility with what they end up doing on defense, and they maybe they end up giving some more easy shots for that, but I think they'll force some more turnovers, and just the, if they earn that reputation, then the mere threat of, you know, deflecting passes and you know, poking away steals and just cutting off passing lanes and all of that stuff and just the athleticism and the threat of them getting on the break can deter risky passes and can deter those you know, fancy passes which maybe lead to backdoor cuts and whatever it is. And that's that just deterring those passes. We talk about deterring shots on defense all the time as something that's important, but deterring passes can be really important too because right. That often leads to a contested shot, or contested shot off the dribble, which is – a contested shot off the dribble is the worst shot in basketball. So, yeah, especially if it's from two-point range. So you know, that's you know, something that I think is – that they could put into their defense and it could make Russell Westbrook specifically a little more comfortable too.
Yeah, and – I think you bringing up Steven Adams is interesting to me because obviously Russell Westbrook's the most important player on the team next year, but I think Adams and where he goes from here is going to be extremely crucial because, you know, we saw kind of the jump that he was making in the postseason. A lot of people that watched the Thunder closely over the last, you know, 2.5 months of the regular season could see that coming because he was starting to put together impressive defensive games, was becoming more and more of a threat offensively. You know, we see him a lot in post-practice situations, Fred, and you can see some of the offensive signs that he has. He's, you know, he's got a little bit of ability, you know, eight feet out from the bucket. He's got some, you know, he's not too bad in the, on the block. You know, he's got a few moves that he can do. He's got that spin move that's really, really good. Then the Thunder could start talking about them going from, they're pretty good to like, hey, they could be really good. They could, I mean, not like, you know, not like Warriors level good. Okay. That's a whole other category, but like, you know, I think that they could be like top five in the West, top four in the West. Good. The biggest problem that they have right now is that they have like the biggest possible hole of all time at the small forward position. And they're going to have to figure out how to solve that. You know, I think the obvious answer there is you start Oladipo alongside Westbrook, you start Andre Robertson and most likely Ilyasova. And at least you can put together a presentable lineup with some reasonable experience rather than just plug and playing Kyle Singler in or something. I think Westbrook needs offensive weapons alongside him on the floor. But you know, but that, then again, I think Andre Robertson's going to need to take a pretty positive step forward. He can't just be somebody that you plant. This is something we talked about, I think, the last podcast we did. You can't just expect to plant him in the corner from three and hope that he makes a decent percentage of them. He's got to be somebody that can threaten defenses to some degree. Otherwise, teams are just going to load up on Westbrook.
We need to come up with a segment name for you, Russ.
A segment name.
Yeah, yeah. We need like a catchy name. Something that like Royce's Boys. Something.
Royce's Boys? That's the best you got.
What about Royce's Poises?
The voice of Royce's.
Royce's Voices. Royce's Voices. There we go. Royce's Voices. That's what we're gonna do. Royce's Voices. That's what we're gonna
do. I'm glad you didn't do some lame play on my last name.
Oh yeah, I could have done something with Young, but I feel like that's probably what you got. Did you have nicknames growing up ever?
I really never had a nickname, honestly.
No, well now we'll have Royce's Voices.
No, I really never have had a nickname. I don't remember if any of my friends ever really called me anything. Honestly, I've always just been like a first name guy. Like even like, you know how like when you played in sports and like people would call you by your last name and stuff? Like nobody's ever done that to me. I've always just been Royce.
Yeah, I've mostly been first name too. It's probably because my name isn't really Fred, but.
Don't tell people that.
Yeah. People on the podcast will freak out over that one.
Need to believe that your name is Fred. I believe it. I believe it in my heart.
Yeah, it's true. I've always been first name. Sometimes I got Cats. Sometimes when I was playing baseball, I get Cats. But mostly I was just Fred. Royce, do you have? I'm sure you have stuff. What, anything that you wanna plug to the Locked On listeners?
Well. Can I do like I'll do a pre-plug because it's in progress right now. So just be on the lookout for it. I don't know what's going to happen faster. You get this podcast posted or I actually get my column sent in. So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, I'm posting this pretty quickly after we're done. So
well, then I'm going to write like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're going to a Dodgers game, right? We're going to see Puig now.
Dude, I got so excited when I saw that we might be seeing Puig. That I hope he's there. I mean, I hope it's not like a brief, like send down, send up type of thing, but it'd be fun to see him.
I know it'd be great. So I'm in New York till Monday, and then we're back. Classic that this Westbrook news breaks while I'm on.
I know that's super sadsies.
I know. I want to be. I can't believe I'm not going to be at the presser.
What question would you have asked? I'll ask it, and I'll even say your name for you. I'll say Cats Norman Transcript via Royce Young.
Well, I definitely would have addressed him as Fred.
Fred Cats Norman Transcript Fred.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I would ask him just something hard hitting, like, "Hey Russ, how do you feel about signing the extension?"
Russ, you happy about making more monies?
Yeah. How do you?
That's the question. That's what I'm going in locked and loaded with.
Ask him something. Ask him something like really. I mean, I just can't wait for the first question about Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm very curious as to how that's going to go. I think we all kind of have built this up like Russell Westbrook's going to just unleash fury and just
– No, oh no, he's not. He's going to no.
It's
going to
be like a one-word answer. That's what. Yeah, and honestly, he'll say it all in that. You know, uh-huh. He'll just be like – it'll be like – I don't know. Maybe the question will be, have you talked to Kevin? He'll just say no.
Exactly. That's the thing. You can't – if you're going to ask that question, it can't be a yes-no question. Right. But it's going to be a yes-no question.
Yeah.
Someone's going to ask a yes-no question. Have you talked to Kevin? And he's just going to say nope. And then he's gonna immediately like do the opposite of make eye contact. Like right. He's going to look the opposite direction of wherever that person is. And he's not even going to look at
backwards.
A person.
Just look at the wall behind him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he's going to do. And he's going to go, nope, you can't ask a yes or no question there. But
in that answer, it'll be like you said, five paragraphs, because I think that'll say everything we need to know.
That can be your whole column.
Yeah.
Just the question, has Russell Westbrook talked to Kevin Durant?
No.
That's the whole
period. The end. -30.
All right, Royce, you're at Royce Young on Twitter. Well, you'll be back. We'll have Royce's voices again.
Yeah, good. Great.
So before we go, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday from this point forward. Been doing every week or every weekday up until last week. Now I'm doing Tuesday, Thursday, and you know, this is the exception emergency podcast, which was well deserved. That's going to be through the middle of September or so when I'll return back to every weekday, Monday through Friday. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll get all those, whether that's on iTunes Audio Boom, wherever else. If you have questions or comments, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. And you can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage. That's my blog, Thunder Road. And what's next for the Thunder there? That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you Tuesday, like I said, for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked on Thunder is locking up.